The devotion today is titled, The Lord is My Shepherd. I'm sure you will know that the title of this devotion is taken from Psalm 23, verse 1. This devotion is of prime importance to those of us who are leaders and teachers, responsible for encouraging the flock of God. There are many references to shepherd and shepherding in the Bible. David records in Psalm 100, verse 3, Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Jesus often spoke about sheep to illustrate how we, like sheep, can follow many of their common traits. It was my privilege to visit Israel on a pilgrimage in 1986, which brought the Bible to life. Following that unforgettable experience, the Bible came to life in a new way. I could identify with what I read in a new and tangible way. When visiting Israel, as well as the other missions such as Albania and Romania, I saw little has changed with shepherding down through the centuries. The sheep leads his flock, and they will follow him into new pasture, often staying with the flock. High up on the mountain, the shepherd would live with the sheep, then return in the autumn, bringing them down again for the winter into a safe place. One often saw a flock of sheep on an area of common land. The shepherd would stay with the sheep, guarding them and preventing them from straying onto a busy road. It was my privilege to grow up on our family farm. My father had a flock of 100 sheep from 1940 up to 1963. I gained good understanding of how to look after sheep. Then around 1957, my father purchased and built up a herd of dairy cows. Owning a dairy herd meant an early rise to get the cows milked in time for the lorry to collect the milk around breakfast time. After breakfast, Dad set out on a milk round. Then back home to catch up with all the necessary chores attached to owning a dairy herd. Washing and cleaning all the milking equipment. Dad had little or no spare time. So, when I was old enough to leave school, with Dad as overseer, he put me in charge of the shepherding. It was one of the most pleasurable experiences I've had of living and working on the farm. I did not realize that the experiences gained with shepherding would be so valuable in my Christian life and walk. It gave me an insight into how similar we are in our behavior in the life of each one of us. Dad grew up on his family farm. He was one of six. He worked on two different farms before he married and rented the farm we were brought up on. My father told me of an incident that happened on the second farm he worked on. The farmer discovered the flock had been stolen. As a security measure, an action which would not be allowed these days, they cut a small nick in the end of each of the sheep's ears to give them a unique identity. Because of this bold action, the sheep were traced, but having traced the new owner, he was in denial. They were stolen. The farmer, who was searching for his sheep, went with the policeman into the field and called out the name of a pet lamb, which had been reared on the bottle, that now was running with the sheep. Immediately, one of the sheep responded to his voice and ran up to him. This was a sure proof the flock had been stolen and belonged to the shepherd. This experience reminded me of the story Jesus told of the Good Shepherd. We read in John 10, 1-6. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs up by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, we read, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." Do you know Jesus as your shepherd? Do you recognize his voice when he calls you? If I were to ask you, "Do you know the Queen of England?" you're likely to say yes. But if I were to ask you, "Does the Queen of England know you?" your most likely answer would be, "No, she doesn't know me." You may say you know there is a God, but does God know you? Do you know him as your good shepherd? Do you have a living, ongoing relationship with the good shepherd, just as David the shepherd did? Do we obey the good shepherd? Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." For you to have that close relationship with the good shepherd, Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, will have been warming your heart and inviting you to become a follower of him. But you have to make the first move. In prayer, you have to ask him into your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. In love, Jesus will immediately respond. Jesus gives that invitation in Revelation 3:20. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." In simple, childlike faith, you can call out to him, acknowledging we have a sinful nature, and humbly ask his forgiveness. Then invite him into your life as friend, Lord, and Saviour. He promised that all who call upon him will be saved. Jesus, as our good shepherd, continues to say in John 10:8-10, "All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy, to steal, kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." God's Holy Spirit will come and live in your heart. You will be permanently hotwired to Jesus for eternity. Both he and you will have an instant hotline to God's throne at any time, day or night. He can speak to you and you can speak to him. Even your thoughts God will know, by what the psalmist says in Psalm 139:1-3. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know where I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down." David continues in the same chapter, verse 23. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts." In my younger days, the sheep in our flock always stayed in the field during lambing time. Farmers were nervous of gathering the sheep together in buildings, with lack of fresh air and the potential for transmitting disease. Once the lamb had been born and the sheep had cleaned the lamb, you would bring the mother and lamb closer to the farm buildings in a small paddock to give them some protection from foxes attacking the lambs, and also give the sheep extra nutrient to help the mother with a good supply of milk. To entice the sheep to follow you back to the farmstead, you would pick the lamb up by their front feet, holding its legs between your fingers and carrying the lambs, mimicking the bleat of the lamb to entice the mother to follow. Often the young mothers would not follow straight away. You would have to put the lambs down and allow the sheep to return to her lambs and then pick them up again. Eventually, the sheep would understand what you were doing and follow back to the paddock. During my regular walk every 3 hours or so around the pregnant flock, after each lamb was born, I would give it a thimble full of colostrum from a bottle I kept in my pocket to boost its immune system, full of rich ingredients to protect it from infection in those first vital hours after it had been born. Although each sheep produces colostrum with the first burst of milk, I was not always sure if the first lamb could have taken it all, leaving the second lamb vulnerable. It is imperative and just important that we as good spiritual leaders and shepherds feed new Christians those vital nutrients and ingredients which will ensure they have good and strong spiritual food to enable them to have a good start as they grow in their Christian faith. I make no apology in repeating what vital things new Christians need and do to give them that boost and a strong start in their new Christian faith and their walk with the Good Shepherd. The first two most important things to do is to encourage them to pray and read God's Word, the Bible. New Christians need to build a good, strong relationship with Jesus through prayer. They need to have a regular conversation of similar nature to when we talk to our best friends, sharing the good and the difficult things we experience, not afraid to ask Jesus to help them whenever the need arises. It is important to read your Bible regularly. I recommend one of the newer versions of the Bible, the New International Version, or NIV, which is in modern English and can be downloaded free off the internet. I recommend you start to read the second part of the Bible first, the New Testament, especially the first four books or Gospels, as they are often referred to, which tells us how Jesus came into the world, how he lived on earth, and the all-powerful way he overcame the power of death by dying on a cruel cross, overcoming death by rising triumphantly from the dead by his own power. The rest of the New Testament, starting in the book of Acts, except the last book, the book of Revelation, describe the birth of the Christian church. Letters written by Christian leaders known as apostles, giving wisdom and insight into Christian living. If you would like to read more about how to read the Bible, go to my website. It's www.bridge-of-life.co.uk. Then go to Bible Teaching and look for the title, How to Read the Bible. Just as important, it is vital to find a good, healthy church to meet other Christians for you to join up with a Christian family. As a guide, search the internet for a church near you. Then go to their website to see if they offer, as well as their church services, a variety of other helpful activities. See if they hold teaching sessions and weekday small groups, which are more intimate and can give you one-to-one support. Often, we will hear parents who have just had their first child saying, their wish is to bring their child up to the highest standards. They will do their very best for their child. When the second or third child arrives, they, with experience, will become a little less regimental towards the child's upbringing. Because of their experience learnt, they will be more relaxed. When it comes to mentoring and training new Christians, we need the same commitment, sensitivity and patience as we nurture new Christians in the faith. We are living in a generation where there are many single-parent families. Many of those families have had perpetual experience of not having both father and mother, often being brought up by their grandparents. Sadly, Many of these children have not had the experience of being brought up in a stable, loving family with both parents able to support one another through the difficult times. When these children become Christians, they need godly sensitive guidance, for they may not have experienced a father. They would not understand the fatherly nature of their God as their Heavenly Father. For Chris and I, it has been our privilege to come alongside many young adult orphans in Romania. They're now middle-aged adults. But when we first met them, they had no knowledge of the Father of the God. It was our privilege to teach them what it was to have a strong, loving, compassionate, perfect Heavenly Father. It was our joy to behold their faces when they began to understand what it was like to have a heavenly spiritual father. Pastor Brown, one of the Baptist ministers, had recently been giving these young orphans folk a barbecue followed by a Bible study. As well as teaching them the truth of the Bible, he and his wife, Emma, have been seeking to nurture these young folk to read and write, as well as to learn in the rudiments and etiquette of everyday living. Emma has seen a distinct change in the lives of these young Christians. We have recently witnessed Pastor Ralph taking some of them through the waters of baptism as a witness to them now being followers of Jesus. My father cautioned me, never take your dog with you when the sheep have lambs. One day, thinking I knew best, I took the dog with me to assist in moving the sheep into new pasture. When I ordered the dog to round up the sheep boldly stood their ground, turned and faced the dog, stamping their feet on the ground as well as dipping their head to butt the dog if it approached too close, while the lambs just ran off in all directions. It was mayhem. Instinctively, sheep look on dogs as a threat, knowing they could attack their lambs and kill them. I wisely took the dog back home before going back to the field to move them single-handedly on my own. Here's a word of caution for Christian leaders and teachers. The sheep, while with their lambs, instinctively defended their young ones because the dog will attack sheep and kill them. When we are given the role of being spiritual shepherds, we must ensure that anyone we invite to work alongside us are born again and have a passion and gifting towards ministering to young Christians. Sadly, in some Christian circles, folk are invited into strategic roles who are not Christians, for example. I know of a church who needed to replace a church secretary. They would be responsible to answer the telephone. They would be the first person they would talk to. This could be someone who is grieving over a lost one, a loved one, or someone who has had some other emotional trauma. Two people were shortlisted for the job. One was a rich Christian, much suited for the position, and the other person was not a Christian. But the church favoured the second person because they were a single parents and financially struggling. As church leaders, we know well, many folk will contact a church with a variety of needs, both with practical difficulties as well as emotional and spiritual needs, looking for help. How can a non-Christian show any form of empathy or give spiritual reassurance if they do not know the Lord and have not been walking with him for a certain period of time to gain valuable experience and be able to show care and godly empathy on that first contact? It would be so easy for the inquirer to be put off, and since they were not a Christian and have no desire to respond to any lead-up from the church after the first contact. Having personally gone through emotional trauma, I am reminded of what God reassures me in Isaiah 43:1-5. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. What assuring words to hear from the Good Shepherd, to know he loves us and will rescue us. Springtime is the busiest time for the shepherd. It is a special time in the shepherd's calendar. It is when the sheep produce their lambs. During the summer, when the sheep can fend for themselves, when there was plenty of grass, the sheep become quite wild. One could not get close to them. This is when a sheepdog plays its part to round up the sheep. But when winter comes, when the grass stops growing, they will eagerly run up to you when they see you appear with a Hessian bag of food on your back. As you approach the feeding trough and let down the mouth of the bag to pour the food into the trough, they will jostle one another for the forward position. You will need to keep a wary eye out, especially on the male sheep. Rams or tups, we call them. We had a couple of rams who were quite assertive and could butt the back of your leg as you were approaching the trough, hoping you would spill food on the floor or drop the bag on the soil, for them to eagerly muzzle their mouths into the bag and have a good feed. As leaders, we need to be strong and discerning, with an understanding of our flock we are responsible for. We meet various Christians, some with a strong character, who may seek to jostle us with their own ideas. Ideas which may be of their own agenda and not God's ideas, which can thwart our plans to feed and grow the flock of God. Back in the Old Testament, God gives a warning through Ezekiel in very strong language to the shepherds of Israel, to the leaders and teachers, in Ezekiel 34:1-16. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched to look for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered, and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for me, for my flock to be cared for themselves, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock, so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places they have been scattered on the days of the clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them as in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring them back, and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. This particular passage of the Bible is talking about Israel. Even today, what God has prophesied is happening all around us. The Jewish people have been scattered across the globe, but in the last 40 years, droves of Jews have been flocking back to the land of Israel to await God's return to once again be the true shepherd to his people Israel. When Jesus was here on earth, he also reprimanded the leaders, especially the Pharisees. He said in Matthew 23:13-15, Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. What an indictment to be said of the Pharisees. We have to examine our hearts as shepherds of God's flock and ensure we are not putting self first. We need to ask the question, what is our motive? Are we seeking to please our good shepherd? Is the welfare of God's flock at the forefront of our minds? Do we seek to fulfill the needs of others, or are we doing it out of pride and to show our superiority? The wise and good shepherds in our country visit their flocks daily. They round them up with the assistance of the dog to count them and notice if any are suffering any kind of illness, such as lameness. All the animals on the farm need regular interaction daily to keep up a relationship with them. They get used to us and become friendly and manageable. Otherwise, they will turn wild and unmanageable. Those of us who have leadership responsibilities towards our fellow Christians, we should encourage all those who are part of God's flock to seek fellowship. Seek out one another, especially those who are older and needing help. As spiritual leaders, we should be feeding the flock of Jesus, as Jesus instructed Peter to do. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but Jesus forgave him. He went on to be a valiant follower of Jesus. Peter had let the Lord down badly, but what he had recently experienced increased Peter's character greatly. After that incident, Jesus took the disciples to one side, and after a meal, we read in John 21:15-18. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, You know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Notice the shepherd gives the sheep extra food, especially in the winter, particularly in the run-up to lambing. Paul reminded the Christians in Acts 20:28-30, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit have made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Likewise, let us be vigilant. If we do not give time and energy meeting together, caring for God's flock and feeding them, we will lose some of them. We live in a sin-stricken world. All around us, folk are doing their own thing. We as God's children should be seeking to reach out to people, particularly when they are facing trials and difficulties. It's a great opportunity to show God's love in practical ways, then in time share the gospel with them. Let us now ask the question, what is the prime function of a shepherd? Why does a shepherd keep sheep? It is primarily to produce more lambs. As well as feeding God's flock, our prime purpose as shepherds should be fulfilling the great commission given by Jesus to multiply God's flock. We should be busy evangelizing and to increase the flock of God. As God's children, do we have compassion for the lost? Do we have the heart of Jesus as recorded in Matthew 9:36-38? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. One of our neighbours had a small flock of sheep. One day he visited myself and one of my neighbours, requesting we assist him and his wife to move the sheep from one pasture to another. He told us that when driving the sheep towards the gate, as soon as the sheep got close to the gateway and they were about to enter, they turned and ran back past them into the field. We willingly went into the field, spreading out as we approached the flock, driving the sheep again towards the gate. I was watching the sheep's behaviour, and when I saw the sheep looking at the gate and cautiously walking towards the gate, I shouted to everyone to rush towards the sheep, which startled them, and seeing the gate as their escape route, immediately ran through the gate. We know that Jesus is our good shepherd. He does not drive his sheep, he leads them. We had an occasion recently when working in Romania to hear one afternoon of a Christian team of youth leaders from the capital, Bucharest. Having put on a series of talks for the young people of the local town from a variety of denominations to encourage and build up their faith. Afterwards, one or two of the young people in that group were so inspired. Having been taught and encouraged by the youth leaders, the young people decided to get together for further fellowship, for them to invite senior Christians to teach them and to show them how to evangelize. When we heard the news of how much God had inspired the young folk, we immediately lavished on them support, encouragement, and prayer. They were like those sheep that saw the gateway as the right way to go. So we as leaders gave bounties of encouragement to move forward in the plan God had for them. It would be new pasture for them to gain new experiences, growing in their understanding of an opportunity in due course to become good shepherds themselves. Three of those young folk had already had the experience of being leaders and bringing others to the Lord. If you were to ask a farmer what farming really is as a career. Often you will hear them say, it is not a job, it is a way of life. I had a joy in shepherding and a passion to serve, and I have also had an inborn desire to fulfill the plans that God has for me by the Holy Spirit, to becoming a shepherd of God's flock, to see newborns arrive, to feed them, teach them, to turn to see them becoming shepherds of God's flock for the future. When you become a Christian, God will not only save you, he will give you a new heart, he will also give you purpose. He has specified plans for your life. Israel many times let God down, but on one occasion, after Israel had been restored, he said to them in Jeremiah 29:11-13, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope for the future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In due course, Peter obeyed Jesus after those timely words on the seashore, feed my sheep. He went on to become a strong apostle in the faith, gaining much understanding and wisdom. So let us conclude by reading the wise words that Peter had to say many years later to the elders and the flock scattered along the northerly shore of the Mediterranean Sea in 1 Peter 5:1-10. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonored gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your cares and your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. So let's close by listening to the song, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want, composed and sung by Stuart Townend.